Elissa Walker Campbell. Welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. And I hope all of you are taking advantage of the Black Friday deals on this very special weekend. It is time now in our program to focus our attention on some NBA talk. And let's start off our next conversation by opening up the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, visiting with always a Big E favorite. That is Mitch Lawrence from Sirius XM NBA Radio. He is one of the hosts there, does a fantastic job, still recovering from all the an overdose of all that turkey, right? Are you doing okay,
Absolutely.
Mitch?
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners. How you doing?
Oh, we love having you on. Thank you
so much.
I'm doing great. Thank you, Mitch. Okay, so let's start right here in our backyard. We are located here in Houston, and James Harden, he's been off to a sensational start, and he's averaging some big-time numbers. Is he at the forefront of the MVP race for you? I mean, how would you evaluate him?
Well, yeah, since the Rockets are winning and he's done a great job taking over in Mike D'Antoni's offense, he's got to be among the leaders at this point, no question. I mean, you know, you talk about MVPs. Obviously, you've got Kevin Durant, who's off to a great start, and Russell Westbrook. But, I mean, James Harden, you know, when you go back to the coaching change they made, Alyssa, and they brought in Mike D'Antoni, if you look at Mike D'Antoni's history with point guards, wherever he's been, he's done a great job, and point guards really thrive. It's like they go to your utopia system for them. I mean, we're not just talking about, you know, you could talk about Steve Nash. Now, Steve Nash in Dallas, before he went to play for Mike in Phoenix, was an all-star, so he was a really good player. Then he became a two-time MVP.
Yeah.
And then in New York, we saw it here when, you know, for a couple of weeks, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, Jeremy Lin went from a kind of a nothing to a overnight sensation and all the insanity. But for what really did it for me and convincing me that Mike is so special with his point guards is when early in his years in New York, he had a guy named Chris Duhon, who really wasn't much of a player wherever he had been in the NBA, and he became an effective starter. So Mike works his magic. The system for point guards are great. And I thought going into this year, because James had, you know, for him, last year was a difficult year, was kind of an off year after making the conference finals a couple of years ago and then struggling to be the eighth seed and having problems with Dwight Howard and not playing well and getting criticized for defense and on and on and on. I thought, you know, James would have, you know, a big turnaround year, a bounce back year. And with Mike D'Antoni and the ball in his hands, that's been a great combination for Rockets and Rockets fans. I picked him not to make the playoffs. I might have to go back and redo that pick now.
When I think about James Harden, I certainly marvel at him offensively, but I just wonder, I mean, Mitch, what do you appreciate the most about his game and what he contributes?
What I love about James Harden is he gets all the calls.
Oh!
He is, you know, it's really, I mean, it drives other people nuts, and it drives fans nuts.
Right.
But, I mean, you got to love the fact that he gets calls. He is so great at getting into position with his body where, whether it's a real foul or not, he's getting the benefit of the call, and that makes him so lethal. I mean, you know, the thing that's amazing is you automatically assume that all superstars go to the foul line. You know, Steph Curry, over his career, he doesn't go to the foul line a lot. He'll go to the foul line 4 or 5 times a game if you look at his, especially his playoff averages, and that's one of the reasons they brought in Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant's a lot like James Harden. He can get to the line, you know, 10, 11 times in the playoff. But I love the fact that offensively he can kill you, James Harden, with his scoring. He can kill you now with his passing. He can beat you in so many different ways. And in that offense, he's great. But the topper for me is that even if he's not shooting well, he can still get to the line. You know, a lot of guys will put up their volume shooters. They'll take a lot of shots. But if they're not hitting it, they're not going to get to the line. James Harden is always a threat to get to the line. No. At what, 15 times or so. It's amazing what he does.
Well, he is a volume shooter, but I have to point out that he's right at the top in the NBA with assists. I mean, he really is seeming like to be a little bit more cognizant about sharing the basketball and handing it out.
Well, that's the whole thing in Mike D'Antoni's system. I mean, the point guard is supposed to be, he wants to have the point guard be a scorer. And, you know, James is a much more dangerous scorer than Steve Nash ever was. I mean, Steve Nash is really more of a facilitator, although he could shoot. But, I mean, here Mike's got a guy who can get you 30 points, you know, 28 to 30 points a night. And he really does see the floor well. I think the big thing was the Rockets were in New York a few weeks ago, and unsolicited, Mike brought up the fact, Mike D'Antoni brought up the fact, Alyssa, that James Harden is a guy who, like Steve Nash and guys like LeBron James and even a guy like a Jason Kidd from years ago, these guys see things unfold before they happen. The game slows down for them.
Two and three
They're
plays ahead.
They're a step ahead of everybody.
Right.
They have that knack. And I think James might have shown that in spurts in the past, but now when he's playing for D'Antoni, I think that's really special. And the great thing about Mike, too, is, you know, if he sees James is going real well, he won't even try to suggest the play because, like Mike says, why even screw it up? So it seems like it took James about 2 weeks to learn the ins and outs of Mike D'Antoni's offense. So he's having a monster year.
You know, I think back to those early years for James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant. Do you think Sam Presti, you know, was just kicking himself that he let these guys get away somehow?
Well, it wasn't his decision. You know, that's the owner. And I mean, you know, when they weren't going to pay James Harden, and they decided, you know, we're gonna pick Serge Ibaka, mm-hmm. and we're gonna pay him because we need a great defender and a guy in the paint. And, you know, the difference is what they should have stepped back and just realized who changes games in the playoffs. I mean, they went to an NBA Finals because James Harden in the fourth quarter of games was the guy who set up the offense. It wasn't Russell Westbrook.
That's right.
And so I think it's something, if they're kicking themselves, it has to be the owner, Clay Bennett. He should have come up with the extra money for James Harden. And, you know, the lesson there is you can find another Serge Ibaka a lot easier than you can find a James Harden. You can find a guy who's going to protect the rim. You can go out and get an athletic big who might be, you know, he might not be a great offensive player, but how many times can you find a player of James Harden's ability? So I'm sure Sam Presti was carrying out orders. And, I mean, I've never really talked to Sam about his real preference, but it came out looking bad for him. But it really looks bad for the owner because he's the one who didn't want to pay the bill.
That's good clarification. Hey, the host of SiriusXM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence, back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Would love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. And, Mitch, where can all of our listeners, they want to follow you online, where can they check you out as well?
Well, they follow me on Twitter at @Mitch_Lawrence, and then I do work for SportingNews.com, the Sporting News, and obviously Forbes. I've been with Forbes for about 3 years, so I do work for Forbes.com. Just put up a big column on the Los Angeles Clippers, the best team in basketball.
Incredible.
How about that?
Hey, we're going to talk about the Clippers here momentarily, but we still got to give some more love to the Houston Rockets because the folks here, they are fired up. Should they be cautiously optimistic, or is this a championship contender?
Well, I don't know if they're a championship contender. I think the big thing with the Mike D'Antoni offense, and I wrote about this in Sporting News a few weeks back, the big thing with the Mike D'Antoni offense is that you're going to have all kinds of great offensive numbers and stuff. It's always the defensive end where Mike's teams have problems. And that was even the case in Phoenix when they were going to conference finals and they could never get the big stops in playoff games to get to the extra step, make that extra step, and get to the finals. Always fell short with Steve Nash and, you know, Amari Stoudemire and Sean Marion. They had great teams. But defensively, they were never really good enough. And so the thing I think Rocket fans have to worry about is, you know, the ability for the Rockets to come up with stops. It's a tough, you know, now they brought in Jeff Bezdelic, who's a good coach from the old Pat Riley school, to be Mike's assistant in charge of defense. And as Jeff and I were talking about, you know, the big challenge is when you have a high-octane offense that wants to get up and down the court and you go out over 100 possessions a game, that puts a lot of pressure and a lot of stress on your defense. Can the Rockets be the first Mike D'Antoni team which is able to really stop another team? That remains to be seen. I think fans have to view it kind of cautiously. They'll have a lot of fun watching the offense, but there'll be night we'll be tearing their hair out defensively, and you know Mike D'Antoni will be right there with them.
Okay, so we're talking about the Rockets. Let's shift gears a bit. Let's head up to OKC and talk about the Thunder. I mean, Russell Westbrook, he has been a triple-double machine, but what have they shown you so far? Because you can't be a one-man show.
Well, you can't be, but I'm surprised by their start. I mean, look, you know, let's go back to July. They lost Kevin Durant, and you know, when a team loses a guy like Kevin Durant, that is really not easy to overcome. I mean, most teams that lose to Kevin Durant, they're going to get knocked back down a level or two. They were obviously a championship contender. They were, you know, 5 minutes away from going to a second finals, blew that series against Golden State. And, you know, Kevin Durant leaves a team that have been to a conference finals, what, 4 out of the last 6 years. You expect them to take a major step back, but look, Russell Westbrook has been a one-man show, and it's been great, and they've been able to thrive with him. I just don't know if he can do it over the course of a, you know, six-month season and 82 games. And quite frankly, I thought they'd really be hurt because, you know, you're losing a scoring champion in Kevin Durant, not just an MVP-type player, but he puts so much pressure on the defense and gets so many open shots for other players. I just really worried if Oklahoma City was even going to make the playoffs. They need other help. They need another scorer. That's the biggest thing, Russell. You know, he needs a Kevin Durant. You know, he won't get that. They're going to have to settle for a lot less. But it's going to be a tough, very long, hard, difficult season.
Hey, the NBA conversation continues with Mitch Lawrence, host of SiriusXM NBA Radio, right after this quick timeout.